this legislation and many of its provisions regarding sexual offences. I particularly welcome the provisions that were introduced on the back of the O'Malley Review and contain 51 recommendations with four overarching themes: promoting better awareness of victims' rights legislation, promoting education about the meaning and importance of consent, improving interagency cooperation and exchange of information, especially in relation to the services for victims, and ensuring consistency in the service delivery. It is extremely important that victims feel supported and protected, and this is key if we expect victims to take the first step in coming forward itself. When victims come forward to disclose a sexual assault, they are frequently met with more questions than support. This has to change. One of the biggest issues is that the Criminal Law Rape Act 1981 is mostly subjective. It is unacceptable that an honest, though unreasonable, mistake that a woman was consenting is considered a defence for rape. I welcome that this legislation will change this mens rea for rape in Section 2.2 from knowledge or recklessness to reasonable belief. This changes the accused's belief from a subjective recklessness as to the victim's consent to an objective standard of reasonable belief. I welcome that Section 8 of the Bill ensures that when the defence in a trial involving a sexual offence makes an application to question the complainant about his or her sexual history or experience, the complainant is entitled to be separately legally represented when such an application is being heard by the trial judge. This will hopefully improve victims' experiences of the criminal justice system. However, I do wonder whether there is a need to question a complainant about their sexual history at all. I fail to see how someone's past sexual encounters have any relevance to a sexual offence that they are the victim of. The prospect of being subjected to character assassination based on previous sexual history deters a lot of victims of sexual crime from continuing with the prosecution, or even from making a report to Garda Síochána in the first place. The consideration of someone's sexual history is extremely invasive and seems to add very little to a trial, while at the same time creating more barriers for victims in coming forward with disclosures. And especially when you consider that an accused person's previous history is not allowed to be disclosed in court, run rightly so, probably before a jury or that there, but yet the victim can be held to account for their past behaviours. I'm glad that Section 15 of the Bill provides that where a person has been convicted of a sexual offence, specified in the Schedule of the Sexual Offenders Act 2001, any character evidence adduced at the sentencing hearing must be given on oath, under oath, or via affidavit. We have seen celebrities such as Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis make character references for a friend convicted of a sexual offence, and these character references hold significant weight, especially if they are given by someone with influence. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are only an example of this due to the fact that their character references were leaked, but this happens on a much larger scale and it happens in this country as well. And it begs the question of whether these references should have been given in the first place, if those providing them knew that they would be made public, or knew that they would have to swear to the veracity of their statement and can be called before the court for cross-examination. This would mean character reference letters will no longer be read out in court unchallenged. If such a challenge is warranted, this is a very positive development. Where this bill does fall short is in the human trafficking part of the legislation. The fact that the general scheme does not provide for a child-specific NRM national referral mechanism is extremely disappointing, I believe. This was raised at the Justice Committee's pre-legislative scrutiny of the general scheme of the bill, and the department came back and said that the approach taken in the legislation is to create the NRM framework for all victims and to specify its membership, which will include the Child and Family Agency. I don't believe that this goes far enough, and we need a dedicated identification mechanism for child victims of trafficking. Children are among the most vulnerable victims of trafficking. Given their unique vulnerability, child victims of trafficking need child-specific processes and procedures. A 2022 report by the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission indicated that child trafficking in Ireland has received very little public or political attention. There is limited research and debates on the issue are seldom. Relative to trafficking in adults, it would appear that child trafficking remains more hidden and unknown. This is extremely shameful, I believe. We should be doing everything in our power to tackle child trafficking, and the laws in this country do not go far enough in protecting child victims. But at the very least, I think we need to put in place the procedures to actually see how much and how big a problem it is first, so that we can actually legislate for it. And it's shameful that we're not even looking to see if there is the instances of it. And on that note, I would also like to raise the outdated language in the Child Trafficking and Pornography Act 1998. Senator Flynn and the Shannon introduced the Child Trafficking and Child Sexual Exploitation Material Amendment Bill last year to address the outdated language used in our legislation. And unfortunately, the Minister hasn't engaged with this legislation since. I would like to finish by urging the Minister to consider strengthening the 1998 Act to ensure further protection for victims of child trafficking and to update the outdated and harmful language used in the legislation as well.